from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And off we go into hour number two of the Rob Brown Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Glad to have you, Rob Brown, and the great one, Lonzo, with you today as we roll through another four of the most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment you're going to find anywhere. Football week, kids. It's football week. I again, cannot emphasize how much I don't care that they're not exactly the best games of the college football season upcoming. I don't care. Okay. They're games that count. They're games that matter. They're games we're going to see starters play until somebody has stopped whooping up on somebody. Give it to me. Inject it in my veins this Saturday noon. Florida State and Georgia Tech in Dublin, Ireland, gets us started, and away we go with week zero of the college football season. We're going to get to that. Speaking of the Atlantic Coast Conference, I have already gone on the record. I did so on the BetQL Network earlier this week. I have made my selection for the ACC's conference champions in the year 2024. And I will give that to you coming up this hour. As a matter of fact, we're going to dive headfirst into the ACC and into the land of collegiate football. But before we get to any of that, we got to tell you what's going on today, because you're about 58 minutes away from getting to the office, from getting clocked in at work, from responding to all those passive aggressive emails from the boss. And you gotta turn in your comp sheet to Nancy from accounting. She's a pain. She's a pain. But then you're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to go down to the break room. You're going to take that well-earned 15 minutes worth of smoke break or water break or break or shut up, I'm on break, whatever kind of break it is that you take. And you're going to have a conversation about sports, no doubt. Well, if you're going to have a conversation about sports, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you got to know what's going on in the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, you need this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this Monday morning. Take that well-earned break and start talking sports with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever it might be. This, my dear friends, is what you're going to be talking about. Before I get to that, Lonzo, I can't tell if Bo Nix looks like the good guy or the bad guy in the teen coming-of-age movie. I can't tell if he's the dude whose dad owns the bank and is trying to buy and demolish the rec center that all the kids hang out at, or if he's the guy that like grew up a nerd and he finally figures it out, and he's the guy that takes down the bank that's trying to demo the rec center.
Admittedly, I haven't heard his voice. I think his voice factor's in there. What's his voice sound like?
That's fair. It doesn't stand out either way. He just sounds like he sounds like a rookie quarterback.
So if he's soft spoken, he's a good guy. If he's got some arrogance in there, he's obviously the guy who's wanting to tear down the rec center.
I will definitely say he doesn't come across as a guy with arrogance. I will also say, of all the rookie quarterbacks, he seems to be the one, even more so than J.J. McCarthy, he seems to be the one that's getting the bulk of the cynicism, the bulk of the skepticism about. So if he had a little attitude after he had another good day going 8 of 9 for 80 and a tutty, and most people think, although Sean Payton hasn't acknowledged it yet, putting the clamps on the QB1 spot in Denver. Like, if he earns that job, I think he'd have the right to have, you know, just a salt-based sprinkling of arrogance across the top.
I think they already experienced that last year, so they probably don't need any of that as far as arrogance goes. Russell Wilson is gone, so be soft-spoken. Don't just go out there and do your job, and that would be a good – you're still going to lose. But, you know, at least don't be arrogant while you're doing it.
Yeah, they're going to be bad. They're going to be bad this year. Ain't no doubt about it. All right, let's get to the water cooler cheat sheet, and let's get to the water cooler cheat sheet by starting, as always, it makes sense, with item number one. The Atlanta Braves are edging ever closer to that 10-game above 500 mark that they hung on to for the majority of the first half of the season, but post the All-Star break, 10 games over 500 has been hit or miss for this team. They got one back yesterday with a 3-1 win over the LA Angels. Uncle Charlie Morton went 5.1 strong, gave up just 2 hits, walked 2, 1 earned run, and 7 Ks before finally being relieved by Dylan Lee. Joe Jimenez and Raisel Iglesias all came in and went at least 1 inning, and combined between Lee, Jimenez, and Iglesias, Dylan Lee gave up just 1 hit and K'd 4 in 1.2 innings of work. Jimenez had 1 inning of work, no hits, 2 Ks. Iglesias came in with the opportunity for the save and earned it, going 1 inning with no hits allowed and 1 strikeout. On the offensive side of things, a decent day for Atlanta. 8 hits racked up, including a 2-hit day by Marcell Ozuna. Laureano had a dinger. The biggest news out of this game, however, is Austin Riley, the premier third baseman, who is having a down year, but is still one of the better third basemen in Major League Baseball, was hit by a pitch in his very first at-bat. It caught him on the hand, and Austin Riley was removed from the game. He went for x-rays after the game. Those x-rays came back inconclusive, so we do not know what the future holds for Austin Riley, if he will be the most recent Brave who will have an extended stint on the IL just days after the Braves got Money Mike Michael Harris II back into the lineup. But what we do know is that the Braves went out to LA. They took 2 out of 3 against the Angels. That is the first series out after taking 3 out of 4 against the San Francisco Giants. Next up for Atlanta, a 3-game set against the NL East leading Philadelphia Phillies. They are off today, but it starts tomorrow. A 3-game set Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of 720 games. Lopez, Fried, Schwellenbach against Wheeler, Nola, Sanchez. With the exception of missing out on Chris Sale, who is scheduled to get a start 4 days from now when the Braves host the Nationals in a series, You're getting pitchers 2, 3, and 4 against pitchers 1, 2, and 3 for the Philadelphia Phillies. This is a massive series for the Atlanta Braves, a very important series for the Atlanta Braves, in a series that I would love to see them get a result in. We'll talk more Braves ball tomorrow as they get set for that 3-game series. Let's go to item number 2. Listen, I don't want to put this on the list. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to give it airtime. I want to pretend it's not happening, but I can't. And the reason it has to go here is because the water cooler cheat sheet is not about my top 3 stories in sports. It is about the 3 stories in sports that you will be talking about around the office today. And I don't see a world in which this is not being talked about. We had a press conference between 58-year-old Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. What do you want? Mike Tyson got asked why he was going through, after a health scare a few months ago that pushed this fight back initially, why he is going through with this fight. And he said, quote, "Because I can," end quote. He went on to say, "Who else can do it but me? Who else is he going to fight to make this happen?" End quote. Tyson and Paul restarted the buildup to their match that is now scheduled for November 15th in Arlington, Texas. They were scheduled to meet back in July, and I wish they would have, so that this stupid crap would be over with by now, but they didn't, and it's not. November 15th is the new date. Of course, Tyson had a health scare. He got dizzy and became nauseous on a plane from Miami to LA back in May. That was attributed to a major ulcer problem. Tyson said he resumed training 2 or 3 weeks ago and feels, quote, "ready," end quote. The undisputed heavyweight champion from 1987 to 1990, retired in 05, came back for an exhibition match against Roy Jones in 2020, and now the 58-year-old goes up against Jake Paul. And I guess there is at least some hope for humanity left. Because when Jake Paul came out and crossed the stage, the city of New York booed him immensely. Of course, he fired back with, "Hey, New York, you're just like Mike Tyson. You were good 20 years ago," quote, end quote. Shots fired.
That's a major burn, but not because it's true, right? I mean, it's absolutely true.
No, it's absolutely not true. New York's a wonderful city.
No, he's talking about they haven't won anything in like 20 years, which he's right.
Oh, no, I don't think he was talking about their sports teams. I think he was just talking about them.
I thought
just New York.
Well, it sounds, the way you delivered it, it sounded like wrestling heel. Sounded like something that his brother would say. One thing that I did notice, which I was a little shocked, is Jake Paul looks bigger than Tyson. You didn't notice
Tyson's a 58-year-old man.
No, it's not what I'm... All right, his build looks bigger than Tyson. And for some reason, in my mind, I thought he would be a lot smaller. And that face-to-face has me a little concerned about Tyson. I still think Tyson could win this fight, unless he signed a thing that said he wouldn't win the fight. I don't know. He still might accidentally knock Jake Paul out.
He can't win the fight because he's a 58-year-old man.
Who would walk in and knock your nearly 40-year-old butt out.
Correct. You know what, though? I'm a 40-year-old man who's never boxed. I'm not exactly the standard.
Excuse me, sir. You trained with Roy Jones Jr. So, okay. I mean, if you said that many times, that means you have more boxing skills than probably anybody in this building.
That is true. I probably do.
We got boxing gloves hanging in the office in there. You can just pull those down, put them on.
No, dude, those are autographed by Roy Jones and the real deal of Evander Holyfield. We're not putting those on.
Well, you can make someone see those autographs up close.
Those are collector's pieces. The point here is Mike Tyson's 58. and Lonzo being shocked that Jake Paul is acting like a wrestling heel. I don't know why. That's what he is.
Dude,
that's why,
why
he's fighting a 58-year-old grandfather.
I'm almost 56. I'm probably bigger than both of them. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about size. It has nothing to do with age. It has to do with size. I thought Jake Paul was a smaller fighter. When he stood next to Tyson, he looks a lot bigger, and I'm just shocked by that. And I guess in my mind, I don't remember seeing them together, and I thought that Jake Paul was smaller. And I've seen, here's the thing, I've seen him come out and help his brother in WWE, where just about everybody's so big, it makes other people look smaller. And it just, I thought he was smaller than what he is. That's all.
The magic of television, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's get finally to item number three. A pair of WNBA stories make up item number three. We start with a former South Carolina Gamecock. Asia Wilson scored 34, grabbed 13 boards. That is her WNBA record, 17th game this season with the numbers of 20 and 10. Her Aces knocked off the Sparks 87-71 yesterday. Wilson broke her own single season record for 2010 games of 16. Set back in 2023, the 6'4" center has scored at least 20 points and grabbed 10 or more rebounds in 8 consecutive games. Now, also a WNBA record, the two-time WNBA MVP is averaging 29.3 points, 14.4 boards, and 3.6 blocks on the season so far. She is also 93.3% from the free throw line during that stretch. Wilson is the first WNBA player in history with multiple games of 30, 10, and 5 steals, became the fourth player in league history to record 8 double-doubles in a row, joining Candace Parker, Sylvia Fowles, and Chicago Sky rookie Angel Reese, who currently has the record at 15 straight. That is only one half of the story, because for the other story, we go to Indiana. We go to hang out with friend of the show, well, soon to be friend of the show, I hope, Caitlin Clark. The Rook got herself a record yesterday, at another milestone to the record breaking at 2024 that the former Iowa Hawkeye is putting together. Her latest coming yesterday, a 92-75 win over the Seattle Storm. Caitlin Clark broke the WNBA single season rookie mark for assists. Caitlin Clark also now leads the WNBA in assist average at 8.3 per game. She had 9 yesterday to reach 232 career assists. She passes Tisha Panichero's previous record of 224 set back in 1998. You want to talk about old? This record was set 4 years before Caitlin Clark was born. Panichero was a number 2 pick overall for the former Sacramento Monarchs that year. She helped lead the Monarchs to the 05 League Championship, finished her career with 2,600 assists, third most in WNBA history. Clark already on pace, if she can make it 10 years, to get to that number. Clark's passing is arguably her number one attribute, along with scoring a Division I men's and women's record, 3,951 points at Iowa. Clark also dished out 1,144 assists, third in NCAA Division I women's history. It also took her just 28 WNBA games to pass the record, a mark which was set during the old WNBA 30 game season. Of course, the WNBA season is now stretched to 40 games, meaning Clark still has a dozen more to add to the assist total. The overall WNBA single season assist record is 316, set last year in 40 games by Alyssa Thomas of the Connecticut Sun. Clark, at her current pace of just under 9 per game, would eclipse that mark in 11 more games. Thomas currently is second in the league in assists with 202 through 26. So Caitlin Clark, another record under the banner of that number 22 Fever jersey. And oh, by the way, the Fever now in a playoff spot. and all of y'all who listen to Rob Brown when I said grab your rookie of the year hype now because she is going to be back in the mix, you're welcome. We got to run to a break. We'll come back after this, get some college football in here. Let's start breaking down conferences on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and the great one Lonzo with you on an Upstate Monday morning. Let's dive right in because college football is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Week zero hath arrived. We have been waiting, anticipating, and it's time. In fact, we've got a game in the Atlantic Coast Conference coming up this noon, the ACC, the first conference to have a conference matchup, and they do so right out of the gate with FSU and Georgia Tech at noon this Saturday. Feels as good a time as any to begin breaking down some college football. We have talked a lot of ACC ball. Let us go on the record and talk through this hour some of the things we expect to see, maybe not see, out of the ACC to start this season. I had something going there. What do you want? I burned it out. It is what it is. So let's just start at the top. And I don't think it is going to come to a great surprise to anyone to recognize that there are effectively two teams clear-cut favorites and two teams that are projected to be in the hunt for the conference this year. The two teams that are projected at the top, Clemson and Florida State. And depending on who you ask, there really is, I know, shocking, there really is no clear-cut favorite as to who the favorite is here. It is Clemson. It is Florida State. Now, there are two teams that I think could very much be in the mix. I think Miami could very much be in the mix. Although, frankly, I am getting very tired of pretending every year like Miami is back. Yesterday, though, I had the pleasure of running into an old buddy of ours, Mr. Zachary Brown, a big Miami guy. And we got to talk some football with Zach, which was nice. So Zach's a Miami guy. And I asked Zach, if Mario Cristobal doesn't get it done this year, is he done? If he can't take this team, and I'm not necessarily saying win the ACC, I am saying be competitive down the stretch, right? Have a week 14 where Miami still got the opportunity to punch a ticket to the ACC title game. If he doesn't do that, is he done? Is he cooked? Is he out? And Zach's answer was, not to me, but I do think the fan base would run him out. Not to me. I would give him another year because the recruiting has been excellent. The transfer portal work has been excellent. I would not boot him yet because the roster building is still in play. But I think the fans would probably have enough sway to get the athletic department to move on. We'll come back to Miami in a minute because I do think that they had better be in the mix for Cristobal's job. But let's keep an eye on Florida State and Clemson. Now, the similarities between these two teams run deep. On one hand, you got a pair of teams that one of the two have won the ACC every year except one since 2011. You are talking about a pair of teams that both have the potential to have elite defenses in college football this year. You were talking about a pair of teams that have question marks surrounding the wide receiver room particularly and have a quantified thought about what the running back room is going to look like. Phil Maffa, obviously, stepping into the shoes left behind by Will Shipley. Lawrence Toafili is going to be the guy that is the primary back, I think, down in Tallahassee for FSU. But Lonzo and I have both said a number of times that while we can absolutely get into the X's and O's and we can absolutely get into the wide receiver room and we can talk about the defenses and all that, at the end of the day, these two teams and their odds at winning a division are going to come down to two players. Cade Klubnik at Clemson, DJ Uiagalelei at Florida State. My question mark, though, is if I made you pick one of those two guys, who are you taking? If I asked you who you trusted more, Cade Klubnik's growth after a shaky sophomore season, or DJ Uiagalelei, who had improved, though not drastically improved, numbers at Oregon State last year, which of those two guys do you think you would say is going to be more dependable and trustworthy in the 2024 season?
All right, before I get labeled as a hater, because, I kind of am, but still, for many years, I have said that Clemson is the ACC. I've stopped saying that because they're not anymore. I thought DJ got a bad rap when he was there. The fans clamored, wanting him out. Not that that's the reason why Dabo made the decision, but he did make the decision. And I don't know that they improved by getting rid of DJ. I think that Florida State will be at least equal to what they were last year. And if I had to pick between the two, it's an easy choice for me.
DJ is the answer for the great one. I think that you would have to take the shades off, even if you're a staunch Clemson guy. I think you got to take the shades off and accept that as the reality.
They won't do that. That's funny. I mean, come on. You've lived here long enough to know that that's not going to happen.
I think that when it comes down to it, if it is a battle between these two guys, who is going to be the more developed quarterback? The reality is DJ's had more time to do it. I think that, and this was the setup around DJ Uiagalelei that I've talked about a couple of times on this show, on BetQL, etc. DJ Uiagalelei, when he got to Clemson, was the heir apparent to the throne at what was then QBU, right? I mean, to me, there is no argument that for about, what, six seasons, Clemson was consistently producing some of the best quarterback play in all of college football. And DJ was expected to be that guy, the next guy up. And I think when you put that expectation, how many times have we said, when we talked about Kalen DeBoer going to Alabama, what's the phraseology that we always use? It is tough to be the man after the man. It's tough to be the guy after the guy. And DJ just didn't live up to it. Now, if you were around listening to this show at that point in time, you know that very regularly I placed the blame of that on a couple of people. I placed it primarily at the feet of his dad, Big Dave. It wasn't meant to be a personal shot, although I've been told it was taken that way a couple of times. I felt like Big Dave taught DJ Uiagalelei how to be a brand before he taught him how to be a quarterback. And I think by the time that DJ got to Clemson, even DJ expected, oh, this is going to be easy, right? I just go out there, I get put on the QB1 depth chart, and I win a Heisman. And that's just kind of how this goes. And it didn't go. Well, it didn't work.
You know what? I've thought about this a lot. And maybe DJ just didn't conform to the Clemson way. We've heard Dabo mention the Clemson way. And maybe he just couldn't embrace, couldn't understand, couldn't figure out the Clemson way. I am curious if Florida State and the coaching staff there will build around his strengths and make it his team and not ask him to conform to, if there is, a Seminole way.
So that's it's an interesting thought, which is so the you know, I said Big Dave is one. The other one was Dabo Swinney to some degree. I don't think that the developmental phase was what it needed to be for DJ Uiagalelei. And I got to tell you, I am no expert when it comes to developing quarterbacks. None. I am no expert in developing quarterbacks, all right? The most development out of a quarterback you're going to get for me is when I train up a guy's stats in Madden, right? That's about as good as I can get you. I don't think it was there. And I think that kind of was put on display. You all remember the plane ride that DJ was on with Dabo when Dabo pointed down at the stadium and said, that's where you're going to be throwing all those touchdowns the next few years, right? Like, I think it was almost just kind of assumed. And how can you fault the guy? When you have success that long, that many times in that particular way, you can fall into the assumption that it's going to happen again. So I think you put those two things together. I think the pressure was remarkably high at Clemson. He goes to Oregon State, where there was no pressure on him at all. There was no pressure on, like, Oregon State wasn't expecting to compete for a conference or a division or anything. And he got to play a year without having to try to win something. There's no pressure on the guy. Now there's pressure back on him. Did he learn enough in the 1 year to get there? And then there's Cade. And we'll talk more about him, and we will put our ACC power rankings and projected champ on the record when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Talking ACC as we wrap up hour number two of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown and Lonzo with you. The text line is open for you this morning at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the radio broadcast. Let's get to it. Two favorites, Clemson, Florida State. We talked about Florida State. This team's going to be very good defensively. Guys like Patrick Payton on the defensive side of the ball. Marvin Jones Jr. will be bookending. He is a Georgia transfer. Limited time at Georgia, but reports are that he's bulked up. This team's going to have a great pass rush. This team's going to have good linebackers. Clemson. It comes down to, at least if you ask some people, it comes down to the development of Cade Klubnik. And I've been told, we've actually had a text, not today, but in the past, that saying it comes down to Cade Klubnik is a lazy take. I don't think it is. I don't think it's a lazy take at all. In fact, I think it's an accurate take. There are plenty of other things to talk about. There are the guys like Phil Maffa, the guys like Bryant Wesco. There are plenty of other players that we can and frankly should.
By the way, real quick, Dabo has basically said that, you know, he said multiple times on multiple venues, if you look at the games that we lost by this, you know, just a couple points, a play goes this way, a play goes that way. It's almost always something that the quarterback did. So even Dabo is saying Cade is how Cade plays is how the game goes. The defense is good. The running backs are good. The lines, everything's good. It's going to be the quarterback. And saying it's a lazy take, you're a lazy texter.
I think that, and in fact, I even pointed out to at ACC Media Days when we had Dabo Swinney on the show, I asked him, you know, you have been critical. You have been critical of Cade Klubnik to a point that I feel compelled to ask you, how do you balance coaching this guy, developing this guy, getting to this guy to where he needs to be, while also hanging a lot of what went wrong last year on him? How do you handle both of those responsibilities? How do you handle the spot where you've got, hey, you know, too many tackles for losses, too many bad handoffs, too many fumbles, too many interceptions, and also build up the confidence that this guy can lead this team to an ACC title game? And Dabo Swinney effectively said, hey, look, one of the things that you got to do in coaching is you got to shoot straight with a kid, right? You've got to point out the faults so that the faults can be corrected. You've got to point out the faults so that the faults can be handled. You've got to point out the faults so that you can work towards improvement. And that's fair. I mean, it's pretty coach speaky, but it's fair. My question mark is, how much of the fault is with Cade Klubnik? And how much of the fault is with the fact that Cade Klubnik was playing behind a pretty pedestrian offensive line last year? How much of the fault is with Cade Klubnik? And how much of the fault is the fact that he was playing with a wide receiver core that was, frankly, disappointing last year? How much of the fault is with Cade Klubnik? And how much of the fault last year lies in the fact that you had a first-year offensive coordinator? And while the stories went that Dabo would occasionally take over the headset and orchestrate the offense himself, the reality is you had a new scheme. You had a new system. You had new tactics in place for the very first year. How much is on Cade, and how much of was that a perfect storm of a bunch of scenarios that Clemson has not dealt with over the past couple of years?
I have a couple questions for you. Who played for the ACC championship last year?
Florida State won the ACC championship last year.
Who'd they play? I tell you who they didn't play. They didn't play Clemson. The year before, did Clemson play for the ACC championship?
No.
No, they did not. So I don't understand why this team is getting so much love, that things have changed so much over the last 2 years that they're guaranteed to be playing in the ACC championship, because I don't believe it. They didn't do it last year. They didn't do it the year before. And I don't know that any of the West Coast teams coming in are going to be competitive. Possibly SMU. I still look at their record last year, look at the teams they played. And right now, there's no divisions anymore, right? So the best record's going to play. And SMU, as we looked at, their schedule is a lot easier than Clemson's. So there's a good shot that Clemson could play better this year and still not play for the ACC championship. I think people are penciling them in without showing how they've improved. Where have they improved? Is the defense going to be good? Yes, the defense is always good. It comes down to Kay Klubnik. He's improved this year. Yeah, they said that last year. And let's talk about that vaunted offensive coordinator. All we heard about, oh, man, this guy, oh, we got him. We got him. We got him. Everybody else wanted him. We got him. What did he do? Same thing that the other guy did. So I don't understand the hype behind this, and I don't believe it.
So I want to start with where you started. I don't know that anyone, with the exception of diehard Clemson fans, I don't know that anyone has penciled them into the ACC title game yet. And maybe that's just me. I don't think anyone has just gone ahead and assumed that they are going to be there. I think that, frankly, and I think you can get this by listening to shows around the country, as I do on a somewhat regular basis. I think the shine has come off the Clemson apple the last couple of years. I don't think, and this is not to say that it is correct or not, but I don't think that the Clemson Tiger football program, I'm not saying that they're viewed as a second-rate program, but I don't think that they are viewed as the dominant, defining team that they have been viewed as in years gone by.
All right, let me jump in real quick because I just started looking. New York Times, and The Athletic, they have Miami second in their predictions after Florida State. And they have Virginia Tech ahead of Clemson. So there are some things out there, and I'm trying to find anyone else. I mean, this is your prediction, but I'm trying to find anybody else that's not from this area that's actually believing in Clemson like it seems like everyone around here is, because I definitely am not.
Oh, for sure. Listen, I don't think there are a ton of people that look at this team. In years gone by, I think annually Clemson was penciled in as a divisional winner. And I certainly think in a year where there are no divisions, I certainly think in a year where the two best records get themselves in, right? In years gone by, it wouldn't have been a question mark, right? It wouldn't have been a who's going. It'd have been Clemson and whom is going to play them in the ACC title game. And I do think that the shine is off of this program a little bit because of the 2 years in a row that they just weren't there. That being said, I think the pieces are there. And as a texter said a second ago, texter writes the show and said, fan, that is not a lazy take. Quarterback play is always it. And I agree. Quarterback play is always it. It is not all that big of a deal to think that as Cade Klubnik goes, go the Clemson Tigers. We'll point out that, and I do think it is important that we do so, the 2022 ACC championship was won by Clemson. That was the year they beat North Carolina 39-10. So they are just a couple of years removed, but the shine off the apple. Now, another texter just wrote the show and said, Rob, soon as Clemson beats Georgia in week one, that narrative will change drastically. Look,
absolutely. By the way, yeah, absolutely. That will change. That changes the landscape of football to a degree.
It changes the entire landscape of football. It puts Clemson immediately back on the map. A Georgia team that is just about consensus number one across the board. What they get? They got over two thirds of the first place votes in the AP Top 25 poll. It would absolutely change the college football landscape on a dime. But let's not sit here and pretend that Clemson's not a two-touchdown dog in this game. And you're a two-touchdown dog for a reason. And oh, by the way, not that this figures into it, although it does. This game's in Atlanta. Guys, this is going to be a Georgia home game. All right. You could have the most fervent fan base out there. This is going to be a Georgia home game. The odds are not in your favor and indeed are stacked against you for this contest. So, with all of that being said, I absolutely think this team is not just in the mix for the ACC. I think the ACC, and this is not new, I've been saying this for a couple of months now. The ACC title game is FSU versus Clemson. I think they're playing in the regular season, and I think regardless of who wins that contest, I think those two teams are rematching because I'll believe in Miami when Miami finally does something. And as much as I love what Dave Doran has done down at NC, or I guess I should say up at NC State, I love what Dave Doran's done at NC State. I think NC State has arguably this year behind Grayson McCall, the transfer quarterback from Coastal Carolina. I think NC State, between Jordan Waters and Noah Rogers and Justin Jolie, I think NC State might have the best offensive skill set that the Wolfpack have ever had, ever. I think the NC State Wolfpack are gonna have a say in who wins this. But the two best teams in this conference are Florida State and Clemson. I think that they match up again in Charlotte, North Carolina in the ACC title game. And if that does come to fruition this year, I absolutely think Clemson can win this conference. I really do. There is, to me, too much loss in Tallahassee to just bounce back from. You lost your starting quarterback. You lost your number one rusher. You lost your number one and number two receivers. You lost the most versatile tight end in college football. You lost, what was it, six players off the defensive side of the ball to the NFL draft, some ridiculous number. This team, Florida State, has, in my opinion, lost too much to be able to just bounce back and be right back where they were. And if that is true, this is less about, I think, less about the upgrade and development of Clemson and more about Florida State lost a lot of dudes. And while Norvell has been excellent in the portal, he was excellent in the portal again this year, to bring that many guys back and think you're just going to bounce back just like that, I do not see it. I don't see it. So if Florida State is down, and I project that they will be, I think Clemson, by default being, again, should be better than Miami because I don't believe in Mario Cristobal and better talented than NC State. If Florida State is indeed down this year, and I project they will be, Clemson should return to the divisional throne. Your thoughts are welcome. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-M. We'll read them on the air. I've got Clemson winning the ACC. I'll take Florida State 2. I'll take NC State 3. Miami 4, Louisville 5 is my top five order of finish in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Lonzo?
Oh, okay, really quick. I'm going to go Florida State, SMU, Miami, Clemson, NC State.
All right, there you have it. So I'm going Clemson, FSU, NC State, Miami, and then Lonzo's going FSU, SMU, Miami, Clemson, NC State. So there you have it. There's our projected order to finish for the ACC. And now you have this, which is Lonzo doing a sports flash.
It's what you've all been waiting for, I'm sure. With 2 weeks until the start of the NFL season, teams are starting to settle their depth charts. The Las Vegas Raiders, also known as Raiders, have officially named Gardner Minshew their quarterback, while the Buccaneers have agreed to waive linebacker Randy Gregory, who failed to report to the team in any capacity after signing a contract a week ago. The Minnesota Vikings have agreed to a one-year deal worth $10 million with defensive back Stephon Gilmore, while Broncos coach Sean Payton has put off naming a starter between rookie Bo Nix and veteran Jared Stidham, despite Nix's 8-of-9, 80-yard, one-touchdown performance in Denver's 27-2 win over Green Bay. Hey, make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, also fun, right here on Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.